Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention?
This is a Patriots Unfiltered emergency podcast.
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Presented by Toyota's official website for deals, buyatoyota.com.
Patriots Unfiltered!
All right. I'm not sure it qualifies as an emergency, but I think it's,
emergency.
You know,
whoop, 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 whoop.
Yeah, I think it's enough news where it warrants a special podcast. You know, so we're not going to be talking till Tuesday.
Right.
So I didn't want to wait.
No.
Yeah.
This was the right move, friend.
We got
absolutely
coordinators.
Yeah.
Coordinators here.
So it's
coordinated.
It's Deuce, it's Evan, it's Paul, it's me, Matt in the booth, and of course, what prompted this is the hiring of Alex Van Pelt yesterday as offensive coordinator, and that rounds out the coordinator positions.
All of them are official. The other two were reported, but
yeah,
now it's all official.
Yeah. So that was the press release came out, so we're free to talk freely about that. And also, I think, you know, again, it's just a report, but I'm encouraged that they're looking for a new offensive line coach, too.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. And also, just right now, news.
I would agree with you, friend.
News out right now that Steve Belichick and Vinny Sinceri are interviewing with Washington with Jed Fish and his new
the Washington
staff.
Huskies.
So the Huskies,
not the Commanders.
Okay. So a little bit of juggling going on right now for sure across the board with all the coaches.
Okay. All right. So let's start up. You know, so the news came. So just little insider, we heard that Alex Van Pelt was in the building.
Yeah.
And apparently they didn't let him leave until he signed. So, you know, when you heard that, yes, what did you think? And now that they've signed him, what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, me go first? All right. I like it. I mean, I'm not blown away by it, but I like the fact that he's an experienced guy, that he's been around. He seems like he's got a good reputation for, you know, working with quarterbacks. I mean, we talked on the show this year about the, you know, admirable job that Cleveland did going through four quarterbacks. So, you know, he was part of that and he deserves credit. I'm excited just that it's a new offense. It's something new to kind of understand. And, you know, Evan will jump into, you know, some of what his impressions are of that offense. But overall, you know, it's just, I think, look, we're rebuilding now. And, you know, you have to kind of hire the guys that are willing to come in and take this challenge, you know, of not really having a lot to work with. So I like it. He hasn't called plays. There are certainly he's kicked around a little bit. So there are some concerns as far as that. But, I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, when you think about what kind of guys you're going to be getting, you're not going to get a perfect candidate probably here. So I think it's a good hire, but we'll have to see how it goes.
Evan?
Well, we can get into the scheme stuff just in general. You do hear a lot of good things about his culture, that he's a culture builder, a guy that players really like gravitating towards and playing for. And I know that people in Cleveland were a little bit taken aback and maybe even disappointed that him and Stump Mitchell and some of the other staff was let go. I think that's a big part of it that we should discuss as well. Their running backs coach, Stump Mitchell, is one of the best in the business, and he's a free agent, so it's a potential guy that could come here. They also parted ways with their tight ends coach that was on Van Pelt's staff, so maybe those two guys end up here in New England in the same roles with the Patriots. So I love the experience. I think when you look at the other three coaches, really, including Gerard Mayo, there wasn't a ton of experience. There wasn't a ton of guys that have been in the league a lot. I'm not, like, too worried about the play calling. I think that gets a little bit overrated at times. I think the one thing that worries me is that they made the decision to move on from him because of the usage of Deshaun Watson in the offense. And they're married to Deshaun Watson. They have to make Deshaun Watson work. And it wasn't a good fit for the things that they were doing schematically with Watson. So I look at the draft and say, is Jaden Daniels really a fit now for what they're going to be doing? Is Caleb Williams really a fit for what they're going to be doing?
Well, we'll get into that. And,
yeah,
you know, there's no time limit here. But, you know,
all weekend.
Yeah. No, and I would agree with the boys. I like the experience factor. We've made a lot of a lot of these guys hadn't really ever worked with quarterbacks. He has. So I like those kinds of elements. 18 years in the NFL. So
played quarterback in the NFL, too.
Yeah. And I do like his reputation. I heard some of the same stuff that Evan did about players' coach. You know, he was well-liked. And I talked to some media guys, and evidently in Cleveland – it wasn't necessarily a Stefanski decision. It was high above. You know, so it was more from the ownership GM
I like him even more now.
Right. Well, yeah, because it's not necessarily like Kevin Stefanski, I think, has done a pretty good job as a football coach. He didn't say, I got to get rid of this coordinator. He's not doing the job. It was, you know, above him. So I do feel better about it.
Yeah, I mean, one of your guys, Paul, was on the radio this morning, Albert Breer from the MMQB. And, you know, he was saying the same thing. He said people in Cleveland loved him. You know, so this wasn't like a performance-driven decision over there.
No, because if you look at the performance, it's exactly what Mike said. I mean, he won games with four different quarterbacks, forced to use five, and they lost Nick Chubb, who was by far and away their best player on offense. They went through a litany of offensive linemen, which is a big-time strength of the team. Now, those are all the pluses. I would say the minuses for me are stylistic. I think he runs the ball more than I like. But that's
just
a me thing.
Yeah.
But that's the way they play.
That was sort of what I was getting at as well. Their run scheme is fantastic. It's diverse. It's one of the best in the league. They run zone. They run man schemes. They run everything under the sun.
Pin and pull.
Which they do. They do. That's actually one of their favorites.
Nailed it.
One of their favorites. Out of the gun and out under center.
Zone blocking scheme?
Little zone blocking.
Okay.
When they started with Stefanski early on the first couple years, they were a wide zone team. That was what they did. And then, like a lot of these wide zone teams started to adjust to that system and that scheme. So they started running it downhill more and to try to combat that. So I think the biggest concern, though, is that they want to play under center. They want to play out of heavy personnel groupings. And when you start to think about where they go personnel wise, to Paul's point, it's just that's the type of offense that they're going to be. They're going to be a run offense that runs play action off of all the run action, and that's how they're going to try to generate their big plays is off of play action, which is not a bad thing. It just fits a certain type of people and a certain type of person.
So now this guy, before he was at Cleveland, he was at Green Bay for a little bit, and at that time, Elliott Wolf was at Green Bay. So is this an Elliott Wolf influenced hiring?
Could be. Yeah. They did. Yeah. They touched.
Yeah. Well, he's got a couple connections, Paul, for Flacco, obviously. You're a big Flacco fan. And then he backed up Bledsoe in Buffalo a little bit. So you have some connections to him.
Yeah.
Hi, Alex. So you know Drew?
Me too.
I know Drew. I don't need him.
Yeah.
So isn't Drew awesome?
Yeah.
I know that. Again, I don't need him.
Okay. So you think, Evan, he comes in with a certain philosophy.
Yeah, I think that schematically, when you watch their film, the best thing that they do is run the ball and then marry play action off of the run. They run a lot of bootleg, and they run a lot of different pullers where they'll pull linemen, get that to influence linebackers to step up in the run gaps, and then hit David Njoku for a crosser behind it or something like that. So when you look at personnel, under center, being able to be a little bit nimble to bootleg is a big thing. And just in general, those are the types of things that a lot of these college quarterbacks that are coming in don't have a ton of experience with. I think I saw a stat that there's a combined maybe 60 snaps under center between the top five quarterbacks in this draft, because the college game is all spread, right? It's all gun spread, air raid, like all that kind of stuff. So marrying a quarterback, like I'm not putting Jaden Daniels under center 25 times a game. That just doesn't make any sense for his skill set. And I think that's what Cleveland ran into with Deshaun Watson, that it just didn't make sense to run this type of offense to a T, at least with a guy like Deshaun Watson, who wants the field spread, that wants to be able to run. So that's going to be interesting in Cleveland if that's the direction that they're trying to move in.
So what I'm getting at is, do you think now that we've got Alex Van Pelt, that's going to strongly influence who they want as quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, so Ian Rappaport was on the radio, or was on TV, within the last hour, basically saying that he's going to be heavily involved with the development of whoever the next quarterback is.
I would hope so. Who else is there?
I didn't listen to it. I saw the quotes, but it sounded
the selection.
He said the selection.
Yeah. Who they select. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and I do agree with what Evan's talking about. Now, the things that we don't know, like just as we're writing this stuff up, as you said, you know, we sort of got word that Alex Van Pelt was in the building yesterday. So you try to get a little prepared. And I just did a, you know, elementary Google search, just like, you know, Kevin Stefanski's offense, you know, like what are we, and you get all kinds of like, you know, Reddit kind of stuff and you get different. And everything that
Substack.
Evan just talked about is like you know, the heavy play action, misdirection. I kind of thought back to the old Denver, you know, in toward the end of like Elway and then into like Jake Plummer with under center, the hard, you know, play action we're going to show with the half boot and throw it back. And I remember just anecdotally, I know, Deuce, you always get amazed by this.
Yes.
But Flacco hit a bunch of these in December.
Sure did.
You know, these balls downfield, you know, hitting Njoku, who's basically uncovered at the opposite hash. Mm-hmm. So that you can make big plays in the passing game with that if you have a big arm. And the question that I don't know is that Stefanski's offense that Van Pelt adapted to, or is that the way Van Pelt wants to play also? Yeah. How heavily involved was he in game planning? I know he wasn't calling the plays, but kind of agree with Evan on that individual element's a little overrated, but I wonder if he wants to play a different way or if that's his style. If that's his style, I don't love that style. I think that's kind of a hit or miss thing. Like, if you don't hit those plays, your offense kind of bogs down.
Well, especially where you got just Ramondre Stevenson. So what kind of run game are you going to be play actioning out of? You know, like, I mean, that needs to be rebuilt.
You kind of have to have the threat of the run before that works.
Work to be done there.
So throw me a name that's an Alex Van Pelt pick at quarterback.
Drake May.
Drake May. Yeah.
If I was the Patriots, I would run the card up to the podium if Drake May is at the table. If this is the way that they're going to play, he's the only guy out of those top three quarterbacks that I feel really good about.
To get Drake May, is that going to require making a move to number two?
It could. I mean, Daniel Jeremiah was on TV. He said Patriots guaranteed he would lock it in quarterback. Commanders, he said he wouldn't guarantee that they're going to take a quarterback.
So let me ask you a strategy question. If you're at number three and you're trying to move to two, but there's other people below you that want to move to two, the person at two, isn't it better to do the deal with the people that are behind the Patriots because I'm going to get more because they have to move up further?
Depends on who you want. Like if the Commanders are sitting there saying that they need to leave with Marvin Harrison Jr.
Okay, so they have to have the three spot.
Then you have to have the three spot. I look at Drake May and I see the mobility to run some of these bootleg actions. I see the arm strength to push the ball down the field that they want in this offense. You know, a lot of Joe Flacco's throws were vertical throws. He threw the ball down the field on vertical plays.
That's what he do.
A ton. And so that's something that they need to do. And you look at this offense and you look at the splits with Flacco, with Watson. Flacco off his couch was better than Deshaun Watson was in this offense, which is crazy to think about. But that was the reality for Cleveland. And so that type of quarterback, big arm, a little bit nimble to get out of the pocket on the bootlegs, sell play action fakes, that sort of thing, that's the guy. That's the guy that fits this offense.
How much does it cost to go from two to three? I mean, from three to two.
Three to two.
Depends on what's for sale. Like, if you have other teams that also want Drake May, then it becomes a bidding war, and then it can be a lot. Some years it's not that much. It depends on what's for sale.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, I also heard that Van Pelt has connections with Callahan, who is a renowned offensive line coach.
So he's going to Tennessee with his son.
Oh, he's gone?
Yeah. So he's
gonna, that was fast.
Yeah. But, that's a big part of it, too, is that Bill Callahan is like Dante Scarnecchia level guy.
Right.
So how much of their run game success and their blocking success was due to both talent on the offensive line and the fact that they had like a scar coaching the offensive line? So that's why it's really, I know Andy Dickerson, they're really interested in, according to Reese, who's with the Seahawks, been with the Rams a little bit. Like that's a really important hire, is offensive line coach, if this is what they're going to be. So,
and he was here.
I think it's important anyway. I don't care who is the OC. Yeah. They need good coaching for the offensive line.
And I'm encouraged. Like, you and I talked on Thursday and on Filtered, Fred, and I kind of felt like it was going to be Clem. I'm encouraged by the fact that report was out there that Mike threw out there about Andy Dickerson, not necessarily because of him, because he was here.
But just that they're looking.
Yeah, I thought they were sort of married to Clem. I like the fact that they're saying, well, we have Clem if we want him, but what are our other options? I like the fact that you explore a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's coming together. I mean, should we talk about the other two guys too, or are we already done? We already
well,
done
yeah,
that
I mean,
too?
You can. You know,
I mean, it's just how it's all come together.
Yeah, and the other two guys too.
And the rest. But no, I just, you know, with Belichick, Steve Belichick interviewing with Jed Fish and stuff, I mean, I think it offers, you know, maybe a little bit more clarity of what direction that's going. So, you know, I'm curious because as we're starting to get into the draft stuff, and of course, Evan, I mean, he just came back from the Senior Bowl. He was in Alabama yesterday. You know, it gives you a sense of, all right, well, what kind of players am I looking for? I mean, he talked about Drake Mabe where, you know, yesterday it's, and even with Evan's piece with Matt Groh where, you know, with the uncertainty of who your coordinators are going to be, how do you scout these guys? So, plug for Evan, go read what Matt Groh had to say. But now I think you're starting to get a little bit of clarity, and you know, it's I like that the continuity is going to remain on the defensive side of the ball now that, you know, we have that part of it set. I think Covington will do a good job.
Yeah. Big part of the next couple weeks before the combine is Matt Groh, Cameron Williams, Elliot Wolf getting with Alex Van Pelt and saying, what do you need? Yeah. Like, what kind of players do you need to fit this offense? Because, you know, this is who we have, the list of guys that we feel like fit what you want to do. And that's what they told me, was that we have guys that we feel like fit in a man-blocking scheme. We have guys that fit zone. We have guys that fit spread, under center, whatever. And then we get with the coach, and then we say, what do you want? These are the 10 guys that we think fit that mold. And I think that's what the next couple of weeks will be about going into Indy, so that they can start to put together their interview list and do all that.
I think one other interesting thing, too, just to tee Evan up, was talking about Mac Jones in this offense. And
oh, yeah. No. No.
Yeah.
No. I mean, you talking about a guy that
wait, what?
needs to get outside the pocket, needs to throw the ball down the field vertically. No. But I think that you look at the places that you need. They need a quarterback no matter what. We know that. Offensive line now becomes, I think, an even bigger need than it maybe even was already a major need before. And that explosive David Njoku type tight end is also, I think, a big part of what Cleveland has been able to do recently. It's probably too rich to take it in the first round with Brock Bowers, but like a guy like Jatavion Sanders from Texas that's built a lot like Njoku, you know, just watching their film over the last 24 hours since the hire, David Njoku was a massive part of that offense last year, and his ability to stretch the field vertically off of all that run action was a huge part of why they hit so many big plays with Joe Flacco at quarterback. And he's a really, really good tight end, and I think that's something that now becomes a big need.
Good athlete.
Yeah. The last half of the year, he took it to a different level, Njoku, and that is coinciding with Flacco. Yeah, Flacco just makes everybody around him better.
All he does is win.
You know how that works.
Speaking of Flacco, he is a free agent.
Yeah, no thanks.
I'm just saying Flacco, Jacoby Brissett was there the year before with Van Pelt. Like, those guys now as bridge backup quarterbacks are totally in play, I would think.
Joe Flacco, retirement off.
Is there any chance, you know, now that the Patriots don't pick a quarterback with their selection?
I think so. I mean, Evan laid it out. I mean,
there's always a chance that they don't, but I think they will.
I mean, are you saying in the like just generally 7 rounds, no quarterback?
Oh, no.
No, at 3. You're saying at 3.
At 3.
Yeah. Like, I think they will, but
is there any chance that they don't pick a quarterback and they don't pick Marvin Harrison?
Yes. I think that there's a really good chance that they take one of these tackles.
At 3?
When I was at the combine or the combine, the Senior Bowl, there's so many tackles in this class.
So then don't take one at 3.
So
I don't have my sheet.
Then there's a chance, I think, that you can take a tackle in the beginning of the second round at 34, let's say, and take them. But if you start to talk about scheme fit at quarterback, if you're not getting Drake May and you really don't think you're my thinking and don't think that the other two guys are fits in this type of offense, then some of the guys that are maybe be available a little bit later in the draft might be better fits, like J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, Bo Nix, you know, those types of guys might be better off in this type of offense than somebody like Jaden Daniels.
So if Alex Van Pelt was sitting here right now, would he say, hey, wait a minute, just because this is the offense that we ran doesn't mean I can't run another offense?
Well, Cleveland didn't think he could.
Yeah, but
I'm not disagreeing with you, but that's why he's not there anymore.
And I also think that, in general terms, and I get what Evan's talking about with Deshaun Watson and Flacco, but I also think that it was getting better with Watson when he got hurt. And if Cleveland thought that those guys wouldn't be able to do it, I mean, you look at their quarterback depth chart. What did they have? They had Watson. They had a rookie in DTR. And they had Matisse's guy, Jay Walker. Who's the guy?
P.J. Walker.
P.J. Walker. P.J. Walker. Yes. Jay Walker's the college analyst. I just pulled a Fred. Wow. So I don't think any of those three would be considered that kind of Flacco, you know, misdirection, under center guy. They're spread guys that want to, you know, make plays with their legs and stuff. So Cleveland didn't necessarily think that that offense couldn't work with a different kind of quarterback. So I don't dismiss it that you can make some adjustments to your scheme and figure out how to be successful. I think they lost so much personnel, Cleveland, last year, that they had to find something, some kind of a niche that they could be successful with, and it turned out to be Flacco, throwing play actions.
I'd hate to be a coordinator in this league, defense or offense, and be pegged as, this is what I do, and this is only what I do,
Yeah, I mean, it's
I wouldn't mind it if I did it well.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, but everybody's got their thing, right, that they believe in and what they've come up and how they've learned to, you know, and that's, I mean, you can't strip that
away. Worked pretty well for McVay and
Shanahan. If all of a sudden you're on a team with Caleb Williams, maybe you need to believe in something else.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course, yeah, and you got to evolve, and, I mean, I think that's probably what's going on now with Mayo and him and, you know, and Groh, and, you know, they're all coming together and trying to figure out what is this offense going to be, because, I mean, it's not going to be just he's going to come in and just run his offense. Right. I mean, I think they're going to have some input from the coaches. How do we want to play? Well, some collaboration.
That's my point, though, about the personnel, Fred. I would hate to be a coordinator that said, no, I don't want Caleb Williams. He doesn't fit my system.
Yeah, right.
Like, you have a bad system if you can't adapt it to the guy who has the most talent coming out of college. You know, Patrick Mahomes will not work.
It's not going to play in this.
I mean, that's stupid. I wouldn't want to be pigeonholed like that. Yeah. But if I have a system that works and good players can adapt to my system, I don't like I said, McVay and Shanahan have very specific. You know, it's very similar. That, you know, it's kind of the same offense, just out of like different personnel groups, right?
Yeah.
The Rams use a lot of three receiver.
Yeah, I would say, you know, less fullback. When I just watching it since last night, I would say that this Browns offense mimics more like what the Lions are doing in Detroit than what the Shanahan tree is doing.
Okay.
Because of how much power scheme they run a lot more counter, trap, you know, tackle wrap. Duo, like, it's not as much of the wide zone stuff as it was a couple of years ago with Stefanski, but you can adapt it to Jaden Daniels. I just think that now you're adapting it, right? And now they're kind of outside their comfort zone. The quarterback is, the coordinator is sort of learning a new thing as well. I mean, the easiest way to adapt it is what the Dolphins have done with Tua, which is running pistol. And you run all of the same boot actions, but you're running it out of...
Which is what they started to do with Watson when he finally started to play well.
I would figure that. That was a big thing that McDaniel started to do when he got to Miami, was because Tua doesn't love being under center. He's a shorter quarterback. He doesn't love being under center. And so they put him in the pistol, and now you can still make the same bootleg stretch sort of action and turn your back to the line of scrimmage, but you're doing it from a more comfortable spot than under center for the quarterback. So maybe that it's as simple as that, and now you have a solution. But it's a problem I'd love to have with Jaden Daniels. I just if you told me, like, who's the most ideal quarterback to have in this offense, it's not Jaden Daniels.
So I was listening to one of Paul's stations last night, and old friend Andy Hart was on with Keefe.
Rich Keefe.
And Andy hated this hire.
Does he really?
Oh, yeah. He wanted Josh McDaniels.
Oh, I thought he wanted Nick Caley.
He wanted Nick Caley.
He's been texting me about Caley incessantly.
I think that's his first choice, but I think, you know, he would have rather have Josh McDaniels than Alex.
He wants
Manfield.
The fullback to come back as well. It's so obvious.
They use a little bit of help.
He hated this, and like,
as much as I hate the fullback,
I think it was just a little bit knee jerk. But listen, I'm encouraged that they went out of their comfort zone.
Me too.
You know, interviewed a lot of people, settled on a guy who hasn't been here before, although he does have the connection perhaps to Elliot Wolf. But that's great. And it sounds like they're looking at other position coaches as well on offense, which is you know, double great.
Yeah, well, it seems like the running back coach is coaching, you know, is interviewing with Washington too right now. So, you know, what's going to happen with Troy Brown, who was down in the Senior Bowl? Is he going to, you know, stick around? So, I mean, it's, I guess that's, you know, as Evan said, I think the offensive line coach is a big one coming up. Is there going to be a quarterback coach maybe coming with him, or is he going to serve in that dual role? But that's, you know, we're kind of checking boxes going down the line right now. And
yeah, but now that
the
coordinators
staff
are in place,
yeah,
hopefully the other stuff will happen quick.
And is it going to be a big staff? You know, like, that's what I'm wondering now. Like, they, you know, we're notoriously a small staff with Bill. Are they going to get away from that? Are they going to try to expand a little bit and bring more guys
in? See, I think
in?
It'll look bigger because I think Mayo told you that at his press conference, that titles do matter to him.
Yeah.
So I don't think you're going to have four or five guys behind the scenes doing stuff that you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think there'll be someone, you know, I don't know if it'll be
quarterback coach, wide receiver
or
coach,
an
off- tight end coach.
They'll have that like everybody else does, but like
quality control coach.
Yes. Yeah, maybe they'll have those, which they never really, they just have like these random coaching assistants.
Right.
Because they don't, you know, because Bill never believed in.
On a tryout basis.
Yeah, he never believed in titles, and I think Gerard does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you look at a lot of the staffs around the league, those like quality control coaches or whatever, some teams just call them offensive defensive assistants, that are just there to hand out like the spillage, you know, just what's left over.
Yeah.
That, you know, not all these guys
charting tendencies,
right,
and
like logging
formations
things and all that kind of stuff,
padding plays.
When you start talking about all that kind of stuff, like, should the wide receiver coach really be doing that, or is there bigger things, you know, bigger fish to fry for these position coaches at times?
You might know the seven. Is padding plays something that the Patriots only do, or do all teams do it?
I think all teams do it.
So
but
they made it like it was like something they invented.
It's a massive Belichick thing.
Is it?
It's
amazing.
He's speaking the language.
He's been gone for less than a month.
No, but you say all teams do it.
I'm sure all teams have some sort of system, but Bill was notoriously picky, too. Like, if you had a guy that you had him at the 7 technique instead of the 9 technique, you're getting chewed out. Okay. Right? Like, it was like that detailed.
And I think it was the manner in which it was recorded. Like, as technology improved, he wanted it done the same way, according to some of those guys that. I told you, I used to, you know, that was one of the original features I did, was with Josh and Brian Daboll when they were doing that.
Oh, I know.
And, you know, we're like, you know, we try to tell him, like, you know, there's more like computerized way. No, he wanted it exactly the
by
way
hand.
Evan just said, by hand and exact.
Yeah.
I love Fred though. Like, well, why do they say like they like invent everything?
I guess obviously padding plays, it makes you kind of learn because you're down in the weeds, but there are electronic ways to do it a lot faster.
Oh, sure.
I would think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Now, I don't know how they do it now. That was that was quite a while ago. But I know that Bill was sort of adamant that it needed to be.
Well, we had it in one of our videos. It had I forget who it was. One of the older coaches that decided to become a coach at like 40 or something like that. It was a big discussion with his wife. Forget his name. We did a do your job on him, and he was talking about padding plays. Who was that guy? We just last year, I think we did it.
Just last year?
Yeah, one of our coaches that he decided to become a scout, or, you know, at an older age.
Dave Ziegler?
No.
Because he did that.
There's hope for you.
No, I'll have
to
look at
it. You can still get in.
It was a you know, a mini do your job about this guy. Oh, no, he might have been part of a bigger one. He was part of the scouting, and there was a segment about this guy who, you know, made this decision that I want to do this. I'm going to have to make sacrifices. I talked to my wife. We're going to have to downsize, but this is what I really want to do.
Yeah.
You don't recall his name?
I don't recall.
All right.
If Mike doesn't recall,
I'm sure one of our listeners will educate me on our own content. All right. 855-PATS-500 is our ace ticket hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. The phone lines are stacked. Emails are coming in.
Wow.
So,
they are stacked. I thought that they were empty, but they're actually completely full.
So let's start with Arthur in New York. What's up, Arthur?
Hey, how's it going? Fred told me to call back, so I had a couple things I wanted to say. The first thing was actually to Evan, though. When he was talking about, look, this offense under Van Pelt has Drake May written all over it. It fits him like a glove. This screams Drake May. We got to run the card to the pedestal or whatever it's called. He spent more time in the Green Bay organization than he did in Cleveland, so to assume that everything he's learned is just this Stefanski offense. I don't think that we know that. And also, he spent more time in the Buffalo organization than he did in Cleveland as well, and he spent time in Tampa Bay and Cincinnati. And if we're hiring a new OC, we got to hope that this guy has his own bright ideas and that he's his own mastermind and that it's not just a copy and paste Stefanski offense, but like he's some sort of offensive genius, like a Ben Johnson or a Sean McVay or one of those guys. You know, when
two guys that run similar offenses, yeah, that would
but like,
fit Drake
so
May.
I'm saying, how do we know that we just got to go get Drake May and he's the ideal fit, and it's not, you know, Jaden Daniels could be a better fit, because we don't really actually know what Alex Van Pelt's all about. He's been in 5-6 different organizations learning under 5-6 different coaching staff.
It's a fair point. I'm going off of what we know and what's the most recent. I mean, I don't know what I'm supposed to do other than that. Like, I can't. Like, if you want to go back 10 years and look at his offense in Green Bay, then we can do that. But it's
5 years.
What has he been doing recently? What is his MO? You know, Mike McCarthy also runs a more West Coast based system that's similar to this. So that's what they're doing in Dallas right now. Every scheme can be adapted. Everybody can fit everything to an extent, but I'm just telling you what I think, and that is that if you had to pick a quarterback out of this class that fits what they do the best, it would be Drake May. Does that mean that Jaden Daniels would fail in this system automatically? No, of course not.
Well, you adapt the system a little bit to him.
Right.
Yeah, and I would agree, Arthur, just that you would more likely go to what a guy has been doing most recently. You know, I know he's been in a lot of systems, but I'm not really sure what the Buffalo from,
let me tell you about
20
Buffalo.
Years ago would have to do with what he's going to do now.
That was the one time he actually did call plays.
Yep.
It was Ryan Fitzpatrick, who was the quarterback, who's the opposite of West Coast. Ryan Fitzpatrick's gunslinger, let's throw it deep, let's go crazy.
Right, and he hasn't done that in 15 years. So what does that tell you about his mentality?
But he's learned in four different other offenses. So to just assume that it's Stefanski, I think is –
you're right. You're right. We don't want to just assume, but I'm just asking, what do you think is most likely? That he wants to be a gunslinger, throwing it all over the place, or he likes this kind of a system that he's been in the last 4 years?
Really longer.
I think what's most likely is that a guy like Evan is an up-and-coming reporter, and until he sits down with Alex Van Pelt and has a conversation that we don't know. So, you know, that's something.
See, I want to embrace the conflict, but he's just so snarky. Like...
All right, thanks, Arthur.
He's a Jaden Daniels guy, if I remember correctly.
He yelled at me yesterday for suggesting that Jaden Daniels is a little bit of a project in terms of a passer.
How dare you? But no, I understand what he's saying, and no one's saying that Alex Van Pelt doesn't have the chops to like switch his offense more to Jaden Daniels. But I'm still saying that if they had the choice and they had the number one pick in the draft and they could choose any quarterback, and they told me that this is your coordinator, I would think that this would be the way that he would gravitate towards. That's all.
And well, I'm also not saying that Jaden Daniels shouldn't be taken because this guy's system is different. I would say adapt your system to Jaden Daniels if you think Daniels is worth that pick.
Well, hopefully we'll have Gerard on the show at some point. And
you keep promising that.
Yeah, one of the questions that I want to ask is, with these coordinators, what's the one or two things about each guy that convinced you that they're the guy? You know, and when he gets to Alex Van Pelt, I wonder what that is, you know, because obviously they must have talked about what kind of offense are you most comfortable with, what players, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then at some point, maybe they said to him, here's our board, or, you know, I guess, and here's the quarterback that we think we want to take. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I would. Look, I have to go by what they told me. I don't know how much of it was lip service or not, but Macro and Cam Williams insisted that there is no board yet because you still have so much more to go.
Fair enough.
In terms of interviews, combine, measurables, you know, testing numbers. Obviously, they have a film grade on everybody right now.
Did you ask when the board is done, if they could forward that?
Yeah. I asked for the PDF
Patriots.com.
Turned me
down.
I'll
just go and take a picture of it. Yeah.
But so a lot of this, I think, is to be determined of what that, you know, a big part of it is leadership. Obviously, it's a leadership position. So a big part of it is mental makeup and leadership and all that kind of stuff. But it's also football IQ, scheme fit, all that stuff, too. So there's a long way to go.
Let's go to Zach in Pennsylvania. What's up, Zach?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Zach.
Hey, good. First of all, just first-time caller, and I was a little bummed yesterday when we heard the news break, you know, 2 hours after last week's show. So I'm really happy to hear that we're also doing an emergency pod today. But just wanted to give my first main takeaways about Van Pelt would mainly just be his experience with the quarterbacks, I think, is huge, and more so than his actual play-calling experience. I'm willing to look past that just because he's also been an assistant for so long in the NFL that those two things together just give me some relief and some optimism that no matter what we do at quarterback, whether it's a bridge guy or in the draft, that like we're going to have someone who can handle a quarterback maybe from start to finish, or just get someone up to speed fast enough to maybe move this along a little faster than maybe what we were thinking 2 days ago. But my main question for the group, just and then I'll take it off the air, is, you know, even yesterday we interviewed 12 people and you know, with the list was dwindling and kind of wasn't feeling so great about who was left on the board. And then all of a sudden this, you know, Van Pelt guy comes out of nowhere and we hear about all this experience and how well respected he is. So just thinking about how we were feeling yesterday and, you know, this the excitement that we have about him today, Van Pelt coming, like looking at that list and Van Pelt, like, do we think that this is maybe the best that we could have gotten given the situation just yesterday? It seems like a really good hire. And kind of excited to see what he does. And compared to the guys left on the board, like Kaylee and maybe the Zangstrand guy, like even the San Fran guys, kind of looking forward to seeing what he can do. So yep. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's a tough question to answer. Is this the best they could have done? You know, maybe they could have thrown all the money in the world and Ben Johnson would leave in a lateral move. You know, I don't know. Like, could they have done better? Maybe, but what I like about Van Pelt is he's actually worked with quarterbacks before, you know, yeah. And we talked about, you know, you're going to have, you know, hopefully a rookie quarterback that is going to have to be nurtured and brought up. And it's not enough to have just been an OC. You know, you have to have worked with quarterbacks. And we talked about experience. There's not a lot of experience on the staff. This guy has it. Yeah. He's been around the block.
I think it's similar with a lot of the different kids, but those are the things that I put on the plus side for Van Pelt.
Yeah.
Now, I would put other things on the plus side of some of the younger guys. Just out of curiosity,
he doesn't
wear
tight pants.
Yeah. Well, I wanted a tight pants guy. We got literally the only one that doesn't wear tight pants.
Right.
What would you guys have thought if it was like a Kingsbury or Frank Reich?
Oh, I would have been
someone like that with a lot of experience.
Would have liked that.
Yeah.
So, to say it was like the best they could have done,
yeah,
I kind of agree with you, right. Fred. It's a hard question to answer.
Yeah.
I did like the idea of like the Detroit guy, Engstrom. And he worked with quarterbacks. And I thought it was all signs were pointing toward he was going to get that coordinator job if Ben Johnson went to Washington.
Yeah.
Obviously, that didn't work out. And I'm not telling you I would feel better if it was him. I'm just saying it would be different.
Yeah.
You know, similar but different.
They all kind of have those. I mean, all that group of the guys that they interviewed. They all,
right.
Like Kaylee, like they all had some of these warts of, you know. And I mean, I think what appeals to me, like with Kaylee, was just like he was not here for 1 year. Like how much different offense,
right? And that's why I'd really be interested to hear from Mayo. What's the one thing about Alex Van Pelt that said, okay, he's my guy?
Yeah.
Like what was it?
Yeah. I think you look
he
at
yes.
what the Browns have done recently. It. I kind of agree with you.
I was just joking.
I mean, let's
be honest.
How do you
feel about $6.50 an hour? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Free coffee for life.
I'll take it.
I mean, Kingsbury, you mentioned, who I love.
I know you were high on Kingsbury. I remember that.
Not coming here. Kaylee, I think there's a story there that we're not going to tell. But
there's about 4 million of them.
Yeah, there's something going on there. I think the biggest thing is that those guys come from systems that use a lot more of like the modern tricks like motion and things like that. So second to last team in the league last year in motion rate. The Cleveland Browns.
We need motion.
How long were you hiding that from me? Now we got another year of you moping?
The Cleveland Browns.
No, I can't take this.
I'll give them credit.
He posted an RPO, so it's not that bleak.
The motion that they do use is well thought out motion, but they're not like the Niners tree or
they're not just willy nilly with
the
emotion.
They're not just running motion on every single
play. Motion and
right?
The motion.
So they don't do motion. They're not a big they run a lot of 11 personnel, but they do love their jumbo packages. Like they love,
who doesn't?
They love two tight end. They love having a lineman eligible who is actually listed on the roster as a fullback / center. So a guy named Nick Harris, who's actually a free agent. So he could go get him. He could be here. He plays like a jumbo package type of role for their offense.
When's the tampering period started?
So they're a heavy group, heavy personnel group for the most part, you know, and especially their base offense, and they're a stagnant group, which is what the Patriots were with McDaniels and O'Brien, and like it's not this Mike McDaniel, there's one guy going this way, one guy going that way, and blockers blocking from odd angles and stuff like that. It's not as much of that.
Yeah.
Tradition. And just so people know my little comment about the $4 million, that yesterday on one of my stations, Fred, they threw out those evidently, according to Jimmy's phone on Felger and Maz, he was looking for $4 million. Nick Cayley was looking for $4 million.
Is that a lot?
To which I said, peace out, bro. No, like, first-time coordinator ever. Never even coached quarterbacks, let alone coordinated an offense. And he's looking for more money than, like, Bill O'Brien was making?
Oof.
Yeah. Well, I heard, didn't Jimmy say a lot of it had to do with moving? Like, he wanted to stay in the West Coast, but in order to decide to move, like, that's what he needed?
Jimmy says a lot of things. Yeah.
He's only been there a year.
Jimmy likes Elaine.
Jesse's in Houston. What's up, Jesse? Jesse.
Hey, sorry, I had you guys muted.
There he is.
That's okay.
What's up?
I just want to say I love the show, and I won't take my head off for this take. Not even a take. It's a suggestion, I guess. If Drake May is the guy for this offense, and they're not sold on Daniels and Williams isn't available, say they try and trade up, they can't get Drake May. Are we looking at possibility of another year of Mac Jones, and then, you know, I mean, if Mac Jones is as bad as everybody's saying he is, then we're going to be picking high again next year anyways, regardless if we take Marvin Harrison Jr., Jalal, whoever.
Yeah.
Okay. So thanks, Jess. You'll take that off the air.
It's a fair question. I really would be absolutely blown away if Mac Jones is the quarterback of this team
next year.
Yeah. Whether it's a bridge guy in free agency, I think the one guy we really should be paying attention to is Baker Mayfield. I think that if he somehow gets out of Tampa Bay or that turns sour, that situation.
Yeah.
You know, Van Pelt was obviously with him in Cleveland. So I would look at
it's,
that.
It's kind of sad, you know, and you hate to say this about anybody, but Mac's time up here I think is done, and it's not even just about his playing ability. I think that I don't want to call him toxic, but there's a locker room you have to worry about if you're Gerard Mayo, and I don't have time.
You can't be split.
I don't have time to be, you know, refereeing and, you know, talking for Mac, say, hey, you know, he's a good, you know, he's either leading this locker room or he's not.
Yeah.
And I think that ship has sailed. And I hate to say it, and I hope Mac does well. Good kid. I wish him the best. But I think his time here is done, and it has probably less to do about his playing ability than all the other stuff.
I agree so much, Fred. I've been thinking a lot about that over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, there's always this little voice in the back of your head of, like, Alex Van Pelt's got a great reputation with quarterbacks, you know, regardless of fit. Like, you know, could he possibly, you know, there are some skills that you still hear people say, Mac Jones, you know, if he gets, but I'm with you. I think that's what it comes down to. It's not even about the on-the-field stuff. It's just a hard sell to the defense and, you know, to Juwan Bentley and guys like that who have had 2 years of watching Mac Jones turn the ball over consistently. Doesn't really seem like they love the way he presents himself to the team. Yeah. We talked about his leadership and, you know, I'm going to run my race. And, you know, I 100% agree
it's
with
everything.
What he said.
It's on field, off field. And I think if they got stuck, quote unquote, they don't like the guy at three, you know, let's face it, they have no control over the other two picks, right?
Right.
So if they don't like the third one that's left for them and they couldn't move up to get the one they wanted, and every option in free agency, because I still think if that were to happen, you get a bridge guy like Brissett or somebody.
You get a bridge guy, draft a quarterback in the fourth or fifth
round.
But
if you get stuck and you don't have anybody, I still am trading Mac Jones.
Yeah.
And I'll let Bailey Zappe play. Yeah. Like, if I get stuck and I have absolutely nobody, I don't think Zappe is as sort of polarizing as Mac is right now in the locker room.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. I still think that there's a very viable path. There's going to be some end of the first round, second round quarterbacks in this class that are going to have starter grades. Maybe not high end starter grades, but are going to have starter grades. You know, I think Michael Penix is going to be a guy that's going to go right in that 25 to 35 range, probably end of the first round just to get the fifth year option. Bo Nix, JJ McCarthy, like those guys are going to be in that territory that if you want to go Olofushanu, Joe Alt, Marvin Harrison at the top of the draft, you might have an opportunity to get one of those guys.
Yeah, I say it in a very respectful way. You know, Mac needs to go find his way somewhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's hard to see it happening here. And, like, as much as you, like, can imagine a world maybe where they just look, it's a blank slate, but you got to compete. You're not the starter. And he goes out there and he plays well and he starts, you know, he re-earns people's respect. As much as I want to sell that story to I can't buy it. I can't buy it. It's too much work.
I think it's best for him.
And more important, will the remnants of last year buy it?
Yeah. No, you know? And that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing is, you know, I think it's the last kind of vestige of what the problem was last year. And, yes, it wasn't all Mac's fault, but he was part of the problem too.
Yeah.
And it's time.
Yeah. Let's go to Matthew in Texas. What's up, Matthew? Matthew in Texas, are you have us on mute? No. Matthew.
Good job, Hardy.
Matthew.
He's there, but he just won't speak. Okay, we'll go up to the top of the stack to Dominic in New York. Hey, Dominic.
Hey, y'all. How you doing?
Hey.
Good. What's up?
Hey.
Yep. So, got to admit, you know, when I first heard about Van Pelt hiring, obviously, like many others, had no idea really what he's done or what he did. But going to Zach's point, with him just being so good with quarterbacks, and you know, Aaron Rodgers gave him, you know, a nice glow of, you know, respect and admiration. It's kind of nice knowing that we have someone experienced, especially with how young our defensive coordinator is. Jerry Springer's a young rising coach. We have Gerard, so it feels good because you guys did mention it. Kind of feels nice to let the offensive coordinator just do what he does best, right? And not really think about it too much, not worry about it too much, especially with as much experience that he has. So it feels like a safe pick. I'm honestly feeling better about this than if we picked up an unknown in Nick Haley, you know, even if he's enticing coming from that Sean McVay tree. But, you know, the one thing here is Mac has been ruined, his confidence, you know, broken. It's kind of nice knowing no matter who we have, and even if it's a bridge quarterback or someone new, that the culture is really what Gerard Mayo is going for here. And that's something that, you know, will help hopefully motivate the players to play as hard as they can. You know, we see what motivation can do with certain teams, and that's really nice. So, you know, let's see how that goes. And one other thing I'm hoping for that we see in this offense, I hope we see a return of the fullback. I've missed that. We use them. I've seen how the teams down in Miami, San Francisco, Baltimore, you name it, how they use them. So I really hope they incorporate a real fullback in the offense. So, yeah.
All right. Thanks, Dominic. You know, I hate to harp on the past, but I don't think you can underestimate the damage the year before was caused by bringing Patricia and Judge and putting them in charge of the offense. I think things were salvageable after, you know, they got to the playoffs the year before, but, you know, the season was going downhill. But I think that killed a lot of things. That was a really bad move. And whether it was morale on the coaching staff or morale in the locker room among your, you know, for your quarterback, that had a lot of, that did a lot of damage.
What do you think could have been done? Like, I'm just asking this. Like, is there it's hard to go because Josh is Josh, and I feel like there's no real, like, second option behind Josh to teach Josh's offense. So, like, it just seems like no matter what decision you made, you were going to switch the offense on Mac Jones. Like, you were going to lose any kind of continuity one way or another.
Switching the offense is one thing, but doing it with guys who have never done it before, so
learning
too.
No,
it just doubled the frustration for a lot of people, and it wasn't fair. I stand by what I've said all along. It wasn't fair to Matt Patricia. You know, I still say he deserves thanks for giving it a go. It wasn't his fault, and he was trying to learn too. But just the decision to do that had long-lasting effects throughout that season, and it trickled into the next season.
That's where I feel like the losing started to permeate the locker room.
Yeah.
Where like it became the morale, the mopiness, and all that, the frustration, that's where it really started. And I think they were caught in between a little bit because Nick Caley was probably not quite ready yet to take the offensive coordinator job on. But they couldn't get to Bill O'Brien yet, so that wasn't really there
right.
yet.
It's no easy, and like, there was they should have just done this.
Yeah, and there wasn't a ton of options. In hindsight, should they have probably just lived with the growing pains of a young staff with Nick Caley, maybe? But that's easy to say now, I suppose.
Yeah. Right, yeah. right. But, you know, and part of it, you know, once it happened, then Mac didn't handle it well. You know, and his lack of, I think, leadership made that situation even worse.
It just snowballed. And yeah. I mean, yeah. to Evan's point, you know, it's, and I mean, you hear the guys saying, like, we don't have the answers. And I think that's got to be a hard way to enter a football game, knowing that they throw a curveball at us today, we're in trouble, you know. And that,
yeah,
that just going into a game, you feel like you're shorthanded.
And so many, you know, when you hear it in a lot of different stories that writers write, it's probably true. But you heard they didn't have answers, you know, and these guys are dogs. They, you know, they're all alpha dogs, but somebody's got to be the alpha dog, and they need to be led, you know. And when they think that you don't have answers, you're not putting them in the best spot to succeed, you're screwing with their career, you've lost them.
Yep.
You've lost them.
That's the worst thing as a coach.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't help your players, put them
in
the
position to succeed. I'm a player. My time in this league is limited. I don't have time to waste seasons on you learning how to do offense.
Right.
You know, yeah. I underestimated that. I thought that a head coach in this league could adapt down to pretty much anything. I was wrong when it came to specifically play calling, but going from a different side of the ball and leading it up, I guess it's not that easy.
Yeah. You know? Well, and you know, I think Bill admitted the same thing. And it was a story that was relayed to me that happened in Vegas that year, the infamous lateral game, the Jacoby Myers.
Yeah.
Lateral game, that before that game, someone told me there was a conversation between Bill and Josh, and Bill told Josh, I underestimated
how much you
how much, you know, went into it.
Yeah.
You know, went into running an offense.
See, for Bill, I think all this is easy.
Yeah,
I think he could call a game on offense without a play sheet.
Well, you just call lead ISO.
No, but everything's in it. I think he knows. I don't
that
even
was
think
a deep dive, but perfect.
That is a nerd joke, but it's a very good
very good.
The nerds are like,
he wouldn't run
Evan,
leak.
You know?
He wouldn't be running leak.
Yeah. How hard is it? All back dive on three. Okay.
All of Evan's fandom are like, oh, that's the best line ever.
I've given you my high school. Yeah. Power I right, 22 lead. Yeah. It's on one. And every once in a while, we really got wild.
It's on two.
Power I left, 23 lead on one.
Oh.
But
all on one.
Never first sound? I love the first sound. First yeah. sound.
Oh, that was only goal line.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
That was how I scored. First sound. First sound.
Keeper. Here. First sound.
All
don't
right.
Don't hit me. Don't hit me.
Let's go to Todd in North Carolina. Hey, Todd.
Hey, gentlemen.
Hey.
Hey.
I'm actually kind of excited about this because I feel like just looking at his history and doing a little bit of research, he doesn't just hop around. He's not like McDaniels, you know, I need to get that HC. I need to be the head coach somewhere. I think he'll stick around, and I think that's what we need because, really, Mac was a disaster because of the continuity, just the lack of, you know, putting stuff in. Do I think that he fell below his, you know, his initial floor? Yeah, I think he went back to maybe high school level or something, and that's because there's no consistency. So I want to know if you guys feel like this guy's going to stay around because if Van Pelt stays around, we get a new QB.
Well, you can argue the other way. Why hasn't, if he's that good, why hasn't he
that
got?
That would be my argument.
Right, right.
I've never heard his name mentioned in
Thanks,
head
Todd.
Coaching circles.
Now,
ever.
Now maybe if he starts to call plays and he's successful with that, it could. But I would think that he's not on that track anymore.
Just be good. Like, I don't really care. Like, just be good. Like,
if he's good, I mean, that's obviously the bottom line. But I don't. And I heard this a little bit on the other station,
not
mine.
Your shows.
They're all your stations.
They're all your shows.
This morning. This morning.
Yeah, Rock 95 is your station. They're all your stations.
They're going to be mad.
Paul owns Terrestrial Radio.
There was an argument, and that was the argument. And they were saying, you know, it worries me that he's never, you know, like. That they think he's going to stay and blah, 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 like, and I would fall on that. Like, it'd be great if he really bangs it out of the park and he's content to be a coordinator. That's a perfect world, but that's rare. that, like, if he knocks it out of the park and he has, like, all of a sudden he turns this offense around, and 2 years from now we're talking about him having one of the best offenses in football, and he doesn't have any aspirations to do any more, that would be really rare. That would be great. I agree.
Yeah.
Todd's right. If that happened, that would be awesome. But more likely, he hasn't really been getting any of these opportunities because no one has been clamoring for him.
Yeah.
That's the most likely scenario.
Yeah, I just think when you look at a guy like that, too, he's kind of missed the boat if he was wanting to make that jump, because now the Bobby Slowicks and the Ben Johnsons, like, those are the hot names now on the offensive side of the ball. So once your time is kind of skipped over, but if I'm Gerard, as a defensive-minded guy, I'm really mindful of succession plans on that side of the ball, not just because Van Pelt – could go to a head coaching job, but maybe he ends up leaving to go someplace else just because he likes it better.
And I want a guy who's kind of looking at it as a stepping stone, because he thinks, if I do the Bobby Slowick and I go and I knock it out of the park,
I want to do great things.
That's good, but that's good for my team.
Like,
I never understand this right now. Boston College, we're going to talk about this, you know, again. They lost their coach, and they don't look at their job as a stepping stone school, and I think they should. I think they should embrace it, because that would be good for them. But they want a guy who comes in.
Work for Tom Coughlin. I'm only kidding.
You know, they want a guy to come in and
stay there for 10
and
years.
Stay. Yeah. They don't want another Coughlin.
Yeah.
They want
yeah.
Bill O'Brien.
You forever. Know?
Jared in Vermont.
I think Bill O'Brien would be crazy to take that job. I really do.
Evan Unless he really wants to stay here.
Evan did a little sleuthing today, because we might have seen Billy O'Brien getting a Jersey Mike's today.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah?
I might have.
What number?
I don't know. I wasn't that much of a weirdo, Fred. But I went to go up to the shelf, the takeout shelf, grab my sandwich, and there my sandwich is sitting here. There's a sandwich sitting next to it with the tag that says Bill O'Brien.
And then you start looking around?
And I was like,
I thought he was going to stake it out.
How long do I wait? Did you think of it?
I did.
And you're like, the meeting was coming up.
I waited like a beat. I wasn't, because he knows who I am. So like, if you walk through the door, like, I, you know. Yeah,
absolutely.
And so like, I was like, all right, I'll wait like 10 seconds extra than normal just to see if he's going to wait.
Anything?
And then I was like, no, all right, I got to go.
And then all of a sudden, this big chin comes and just sucks it into a hole.
Another one. He's not here anymore.
Mini.
Another guy we can make.
Got a mini for his chin hole.
I would have loved to have had a conversation with him.
Oh, well.
So,
yeah.
Too bad.
And he might even talk to you.
How's it going?
Yeah. Jared writes in, wants to take a shot at the media.
Oh, cool.
He says, 11 offensive coordinator interviews, and nobody reported the guy they hired was even in consideration. What gives?
That's
he
a fair.
He came in yesterday and was hired.
Boom. Bang. Done.
Bang.
Yeah. That is fair, though. I mean, it was not. I think Reese had the report yesterday that it was cooling on Nick Cayley.
Yep.
I didn't see that. These guys had me convinced that it was Kaylee on the show.
No, I think yesterday Reese had a report on one of your shows, Paul, that Nick Cayley, the last couple of days, that sort of had died down, but nobody had Alex Van Pelt in terms of the name.
Chad in Atlanta, while it's not the flashiest signing, it may be a signing that was needed. Obviously, Van Pelt isn't vying for a head coach position anytime soon, so this may be a long-term move to solidify the OC position. That way, the next young quarterback doesn't have to worry about changing OCs after a few years like Mac Jones did, especially since most of the available and hired OC candidates are looking to be head coaches eventually. AVP has the offensive experience that I think Mayo will need in an OC moving forward.
I agree with that.
I like the experience part.
Yeah.
And I love the AVP nickname.
Yeah. Alien versus Predator.
That's definitely going to stay.
AVP?
Yeah, it's just easier to say. Mm-hmm.
So is he going to bring his kids, Linus and Lucy, with him?
Oh, right. Good, Fred. Deep dive.
Didn't work on the text Peanuts. Yesterday.
Oh.
Not
well,
working,
I didn't think
not
you would get it. You don't know.
Oh, no, I didn't get it. It was over my head.
Do you know Peanuts?
No, I had no idea what you were talking,
what
about.
Talking about.
You don't know Peanuts?
Yeah.
No.
That's what
Matt's children
about.
Are
Charlie
in there. Why
Brown,
don't you ask them if they know?
I mean, yeah, but I was really young.
Lucy and Linus, they were brother and sister, and their last name was Van Pelt.
Okay, it's all coming
it
together.
It sounds like
now.
They come from money, and I never really saw that line up with, like, Linus and the blanket and, you know, like the Van Pelts. Like, they sound like, you know,
what
old school, old money,
you?
Right?
The they Van sound Pelt like they family. Come from money.
Well,
the Van Pelts?
Mr. Hollywood's got to think about these kind
well,
of things.
Eric was so against the Peanuts. Remember that?
No.
Oh, no, really? It wasn't Eric. It was Andy.
Andy didn't like Snoopy like and stuff.
They're not
stupid.
Funny. They're
stupid.
Not funny.
It's not funny.
Stupid.
It's not funny, but you just put on the Halloween one at Halloween and the Christmas one at Christmas and maybe the Thanksgiving one if they're here. What was it ever funny? I mean, Peppermint Patty's inviting herself over and stuff. Like, I mean, sorry, it's an emergency podcast. I can't
Chuck.
Talk.
Yeah,
I can't.
Seriously.
Hey, Chuck,
can we
I'm coming over. I'm bringing Marcy, too. Like, come on. What are you doing?
Christian says, did we forget? Did we forget AVP also coached Aaron Rodgers? Rodgers was actually
Did we forget? Everybody says he's so great with quarterbacks. That's the only one he ever had that had any accomplishments.
Rodgers was actually upset.
Did we forget? Wow.
Rodgers was actually upset and spoke with the media when they let him go. I would trade up for number one and get Caleb Williams.
I don't know how those two things are related, but sure.
Yeah, right. I mean,
could be a bad sign.
He didn't talk to me, so I liked him.
He has worked with a lot of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Mostly sort of average at best ones, like Trent Edwards and Ryan Fitzpatrick and Andy Dalton
and Baker.
After his like good years.
Yeah.
I'll give him credit a little bit for Baker.
A little bit.
Baker was pretty good at the beginning.
That's what I say. I'll give him a little credit for Baker.
Yeah.
But, you know, Aaron Rodgers is like the only quarter. I mean, let's face it. Do we give Alex Van Pelt credit for Aaron Rodgers, or are we just going to assume that Aaron Rodgers is pretty good?
No, it's all Alex Van Pelt
in
my book.
In
sold
my book,
just all
sold
him.
Me. Experience.
Him from the ground up.
Jason in St. Petersburg, for everyone complaining about Van Pelt getting fired from Cleveland and being a bad hire, weren't you the same people begging for Mike Vrabel to be the head coach, and he got fired from Tennessee?
Yeah, Andy Hart.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Andy Hart.
That's directed right at Andy
That's
Hart.
That's right.
Andy
Not
Hart.
One.
Because both of those are true.
Not one down has been played, and we don't know what the draft of free agency looks like. So please chill out. Let's just see what happens. P.S. Love the show, and you guys and gals are great. Keep up the good work.
I don't think we're not freaking out about it.
No.
AVP. I'm going to sell that. But also, Mike Vrabel happened to have a run-in with him yesterday, too.
Did he say hi to you back? Did you say hello?
Yeah, we said hello to each other.
Yeah?
Yeah.
John in L.A. wants
Mobile
to know.
Did
what's
we
the
put that on the show?
What?
Do we need to fix that?
What?
The Vrabel thing.
What do you mean?
Did we talk about that on the show yesterday?
What?
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 No. Okay. Evidently, we didn't.
What are you talking
about?
Go
ahead. Move along.
Okay.
Proceed.
All right. Not for air?
Well, I was wondering if we were talking about that on the air yesterday, Mike Vrabel. Because I knew that they had bumped
him
into
there.
Him. And I thought we might have talked about that on...
We might have.
No. We talked that they were on the plane.
Right. Yeah. Well, not the one to Boston, evidently.
No, not the one to Boston.
Oh. Oh.
So I think that changed. So we did talk about it on the air.
Yeah.
Just so that, the to me, that changes the concept.
Wait, only that he was,
the
on,
concept
that
of our,
he was on the plane.
We got bad information.
Telephone. A game of telephone.
I got a funny story about it, but I'll tell you guys out
there. John in L.A. says, Arthur brought up this possibility. I wanted to ask about the reality. What are the odds we'll get a sit-down with Van Pelt and Evan for Patriots.com video or article? I think it would be fascinating to learn where AVP is scheme-wise and what Evan has to say about it.
Okay, so who wrote this email?
John in L.A.
John in L.A. Fantastic question, John in L.A., and one that I was planning on asking these two about as soon as we were done here. Great question.
We're not legally allowed to let Evan within 50 feet of anyone in the coaching staff right now. So.
Hey, listen.
No, and we talked about...
it's called an RO.
We just want to talk a little ball. That's it.
And you talked about Mayo and getting him on the show. We are also going to do our best to get some time with all three of the coordinators.
Yes.
For some on-camera stuff as well as written.
So what do you think of RPOs?
I think an in-depth with Evan interview might be good.
Yeah, get up on the board.
It's not for
put
you,
him up
Paul,
on the board.
It's for people who like football.
Or anybody else.
It's people that like football.
It's for people who like football.
Let's see. A lot of emails. Jordan writes in, thank God for the emergency pod. There's a lack of Patriots media on Fridays, and that has
that
me
true.
Starving for information. Yeah. I just have a message to Patriots Nation. Justin Fields is not the answer.
Oh.
I don't know where this erroneous notion came from of seeking a washed-up
10 and 28. His record is 10 and 28.
Oh, 10 and 28.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is the answer for a rebuild? He's not good. He's an okay. He had an okay season. You're not going to get the most out of him. He's already given everything he has, and it's not good enough. Him and MHJ are not the answer. Please, please stop suggesting this. I can't handle hearing that take anymore. Your guys were saying
that. Yeah, your guys.
Who's MHJ? What?
Marvin Harrison. Take Marvin Harrison.
Oh, yeah. Do we have to call? That's the junior thing bugs me too.
That's the path. But yeah, your guys, Felger and Maz, were all over that plan.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
They don't want to do that?
No. They want to get Marvin Harrison and get
Justin Fields.
Justin Fields.
Because Felger is terrified of taking a quarterback.
Yeah, I just don't understand why you can roll the dice and take a tackle at three or Marvin Harrison at three, but if you take a quarterback, you know, the world's going to end.
Yeah.
I also don't understand. Isn't Justin Fields a huge roll of the dice just equal to.
Yeah,
I think so. I would strongly push back on that. Like, he's played 3 years and that means he stinks and he will forever stink and that's it. Like, I've seen guys get better and I think that he has incrementally gotten better. I think he was better in the second half of the season last year than he was in the first half.
You're at the point
now. Am I gonna like put all my eggs in the Justin Fields basket? No, I'm with Evan. No way.
You got no
that's
quarterback.
A big roll of the
you
dice.
Gotta beat every bush you can. You have to be creative. You can't rule anything out. You have to take the chances you do. Justin Fields, but like just generally,
I don't hate the idea of Justin Fields, but if you're giving up like a third round pick for Justin Fields, I would much if it's going to take that much, and you can't then use another top 100 pick on a quarterback, because now you're using your second your third round pick.
And that was
kind of
Felger and Maz. They were flirting with that yesterday.
Yeah, I don't want.
If I could steal Justin Fields from the Bears because they want nothing to do with him, and then I'm drafting Justin Fields, I'm taking Justin Fields for nothing, and then drafting Bo Nix in the second round, and then one of those two guys ends up being my guy, then I guess I could get behind it. But if you're already making a big leap for Justin Fields, and that's your guy. Like, that's the guy.
Yeah, I don't want. Yeah, right. I don't want another quarterback if I'm making a trade. I agree.
Right.
Yeah.
He's the guy.
It is weird though. Justin Fields is only 25.
Well, and that's my point about.
So
like, I just don't understand why his story is completely done, written.
No.
That's it.
He's like a year older than some of the quarterbacks in this draft because he's played 3 years in the NFL.
Well, especially this draft. Like, these guys have played 6 years of college football.
Yeah. Right. Like, some of these guys Penix, are 23, 24 years old.
Daniels. I mean, they've had, like, long. Yeah. They've been in college
there's
for 6 years.
Bo 25 Nicks years old.
Like, Bo Nix, already. Yeah.
They're fifth and sixth year seniors, yeah.
Yeah, Tyler says he heard the rumor about Bill O'Brien going to Boston College.
Yeah, it's all over the X machine.
And Al from Wisconsin says, I haven't snorted in a while, but hearing Fred bring back the Bill could call a game without a play sheet line really got me. Oh. That's not a joke. I really believe it's true.
I thought she was going to say Evan's joke.
Yeah. Let's see. No, those people aren't on here. They're on Substack.
Oh.
Evan's people.
That's true.
The Liz Army?
Yeah. What? Lazar's Army.
What? The Liz Army.
Well, Carl Weathers died.
Oh.
How long were you guys holding this out for?
Oh,
no.
Wait a minute. He was just on the commercial, right?
Carl Weathers.
There's a lot of commercials.
With Gronk.
Creed.
Carl Weathers dead at 76.
Right? He was just on the commercial, the DraftKings commercial with Gronk. Like, it's running right now.
That's awful.
Like, he must have had, like, a heart attack or something,
I don't know, but Apollo Creed dead is, that's tough, man.
Oh, that sucks.
I mean, Predator.
Yeah.
Predators.
Chubbs.
Happy Gilmore, right?
Chubbs. But like, Predator's an underrated action movie.
Oh, that's
like,
not
it's
bad.
So good.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
What was his name? Dyson? No, that's...
How long is this emergency podcast going for?
Well, you got some place to go?
You got a weekend?
Nah, I got to find something to eat at some point, though.
Oh.
The schedule was not conducive to lunch today.
We'll go to three. We'll do 20 more minutes. Mark's in Connecticut. What's up, Mark?
What's going on today, guys? Love your show.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks.
So, Evan, how does Joe Milton look? This kid out of Tennessee is really intriguing because he's like a Josh Allen, I feel like, replica. I feel like you can pick Marvin Harrison at three and pick Joe Milton in either the second or third round. I wanted your guys' take on how he looked.
He looked good in Senior Bowl, right?
Yeah, so he looked pretty good in practice. Joe Milton is definitely a project, though. He's someone that at Tennessee, it took him a while to even get the starting job, and then he had some just accuracy decision-making issues. I compare him more to, like, day three Anthony Richardson than Josh Allen. I think that Josh Allen was a way, way, way better player than Joe Milton. Anthony Richardson, when you talk about size, tools, athleticism, arm strength, not quite as polished as Richardson, obviously. That's why he's kind of like the discount version of that. But if you're talking about him as like a double-dip quarterback, or they have Baker Mayfield and you're just taking a flyer on a guy in like the fourth round, then Joe Milton is an interesting cat.
John Tolley was like, he looks huge.
He's like 6'6".
He looks huge.
He's got good size.
He looked like I was kind of calling him Wish Kid.
Cam Newton. Like, he looked like, you know, kind of like the budget Cam Newton version.
And there are times where you watch him play and you're like, there it is. You can see it, but it's not consistent.
Well, I told Evan yesterday I was watching Little, and they were on 707, and he just threw it right to, like, this. Like, just the guy was standing there and just threw it right to the
I was just talking about, like, the Tennessee games. Like, you could see it, like, at times, like, they would play, and they'd be really competitive because they weren't a bad team, Tennessee. And then, you know, they put together a drive, and then the other team would get out and score, and then they put together a drive, and then all of a sudden, like, he looked totally different, and before you know it, they're – you know, they're punting like four times in a row and the game's over.
Yeah.
He just couldn't seem to put full games together.
His arm talent is extremely enticing. And I think that going to the Senior Bowl practices, coming off a year of watching Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi for 6 months, and then seeing a guy that can actually drive it between two defenders 15 yards down the field, you're like, all right, that I don't normally see that in Foxborough. So that was nice.
How big is Spencer Rattler?
Small. That was the one, right? Because if I had to say who was the most consistent down in Mobile this week, it probably would have been Spencer Rattler, but he's a shade under 6'1".
Yeah, and I didn't really love him at Oklahoma, and I didn't love him at South Carolina either. But I saw some people saying that the Patriots had some interest there, and I just
he worked with the team that, you know, I think Spencer Rattler probably had the most consistent week. I know a lot of the teams were really impressed with Michael Penix in the interviews and just sort of his gravitas and his leadership and his
maturity. What did you think of him on the field? Eldred yelled at me because I thought that I had heard people saying that he kind of struggled a little bit, and he said, no.
He got really mad. The second day.
Day one was a little bit of an issue for him. I thought that he was right down the middle to me. Didn't help his stock, didn't hurt his stock. He just had a fine week. Bo Nix probably hurt his stock a little bit, and then Rattler and Milton probably helped their
stock. What do you think of Rattler?
I just think he's small. I think he throws a nice ball. I think he's got some moxie to throw the ball down the field and some arm talent to do it. But I'm just so out on short quarterbacks. Like, I just need somebody that can
– toolsy.
That's got a little bit more to him.
Diana writes in. She's from New Hampshire. First time written. Long time listener.
Nice.
Look forward every time listening. I was just wondering what you thought of Baker Mayfield with Alex Van Pelt. As soon as Pelt was hired, I immediately thought of Baker Mayfield and how he was really good this year with the Bucs. Baker would be a great fit, I would think, with Pelt, and we could select Marvin Harrison at third. And second round, we could select a good tackle. I would roll the dice and draft a quarterback later, or maybe trade several picks to move up and get a quarterback. What do you think? My feelings won't be hurt if you disagree. Just thought it would be a viable option.
I think Mayfield is a viable bridge option.
Yeah, but he's going to want money.
Yeah.
Yep.
He'll have to pay him a little bit. I think Evan said it. Is he going to get away from Tampa Bay? It just seems like usually those situations where teams like that find a little bit of gold in a veteran quarterback that can play for them, they usually do their best to hang on them and not let them get away.
Tom writes in, with AVP's hire, could this be a better fit for Cole Strange? I'm by no means saying he was a good pick, but could the new run schemes be a better fit for him? And also, signing Onwenu to a new contract has to be number one priority. Not re-signing him would be malpractice. We have so many holes to fill on this team, and we need to use cash to fill some of them.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned about – I think we're going to get a lot of these questions of, like,
which lineman fits.
Yeah. I'm not, like, that concerned about it. I think one of the good things about what the Browns were able to do is they were very game-plan-oriented in the run game, so they called plays based off of opponent, and I think that they could probably do anything to fit if they had to, like, really adjust it because they have a 340-pound tackle. Like, I'm not worried about that as much as maybe the quarterback position.
Let's see. Back to the phones. Willem and Phillum. What's up, William?
Hey, Fred. How you doing?
All right.
All right. Question for Evan. Well, I'll just say this first, though. I want Drake May on our team, though. But if we can't get Drake May, I take Marvin Harrison any day, period. So I just wanted to say something to Evan in terms of him and Alex Bark. They were talking about, okay, there's like 10 more other receivers that's in the draft, whatnot. My pushback to y'all is this, okay? The Patriots passed on many receivers, correct?
They passed on over the years, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll just say, man, we need so much, man. Bill left this team so much in a shamble, man. It's so bad, man. But my take is just, You have a chance to get the number one receiver. But yes, we need a tackle. I'm with you, Evan. We need a quarterback. I'm with you, Evan. We need everything. I understand it. But we talking, man, Marvin Harrison, you know, this guy, I don't know if he's going to be that dude. I don't know. Just like Paul was saying at one point, I don't know what he's going to be, but, you know, man, I just want the guy. I take him, but if he got a – I'm all over the place right there, but it just
There's a better chance than not that he is immediately a top 10 wide receiver, Marvin Harrison. Right. True or false?
Right.
I think true.
I have no idea.
Top 10 wide receiver.
Better chance than not.
Right.
With any quarterback?
With any quarterback.
I don't know. Is
Garrett Wilson one?
Yeah.
Is Garrett Wilson one?
I think he is in the top 10.
I don't know about that.
I'd have to... Get
I was looking at
it. Get a pen and paper out.
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day, and I was like, yeah, I think Garrett Wilson would be in the top 10.
I mean, I would put, like, Jefferson. Yeah. And
Jamar Chase.
Tyreek
Hill, Jamar Chase, Devontae Adams, A.J. Brown.
I put Deebo Samuel up there. I put
I wouldn't.
I put the kid from San Francisco in there.
Deebo Samuel?
No, the other
Brandon
one.
Ayuk.
I'd put Ayuk ahead of Deebo Samuel, for sure.
Ayuk?
But I don't know if he's a top 10 receiver either.
I mean, there's a lot of good receivers, but I think right. Marvin.
I think that's the point, right? Is that there is a lot of good receivers.
Yeah.
It's a really good class. There's receivers around the league. It just if you, I like Marvin Harrison Jr. as much as everybody else does. I think he's a can't miss prospect, and I don't throw that around too easily. Whether he's a Hall of Famer like his dad, I'm not sure, but he's going to be a good player in the league no matter what.
I agree,
and I think the bottom line is, though, is that you have to think about allocating resources and where are the most important resources
and where do they have to go. But, like, it's NFL 2024. Wide receiver, I think
huge.
we can all agree it's a huge – and, you know, over the last few years, we've worried about the Patriots hitting on one pick. So at least we know that their first pick will be a good player.
I don't know that any more than anything else. I don't know why you always say that.
But like you can't know for certain for anything.
Exactly.
But it's
that's exactly right.
But
everybody's treating this particular pick like it is absolute.
Because the odds
are. I don't understand why.
The odds are that he's going to be good.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree. The odds are that it's going to be good. Just like the odds are that Caleb Williams is going to be good.
Yeah,
but he might not be.
But we're not going to get him.
No, I'm just saying, like, your odds are the best player on the board at those positions are going to be good.
Right.
But it doesn't always work out that way.
I know, but we never get to take the best player on the board. We finally do have that chance to do it. So if somebody says, you got to take Marvin Harrison, I'm not arguing.
So, listen, if they take Marvin Harrison, I think that they will have taken.
Go ahead. Go ahead, William.
I just want to say, look, when we had the greatest quarterback of all time, okay, and we passed up on all the receivers from free agency to draft because you know who, but that's neither here. But now you have a chance to get that. You know what I'm saying? Like, look at the history of how many receivers we passed on. I mean, I can name many, okay, from free agency to the draft, and it's ridiculous too. And these were blue chip players that could have did something for our team. And now we have a chance to do that, fellas. We have a chance now. You know what I'm saying? I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
Take care, y'all.
So,
all right, thanks, William.
I just would ask, Evan, who do you think is the best receiver in football?
Tyreek Hill.
Okay, so is the difference between Tyreek Hill and, say, Amari Cooper, really good receiver, but not top five, really good player, you know, and I'm just using him as an example. You can probably come up with a better one. Is that difference bigger, more important, less important than the difference between Patrick Mahomes potentially and, you know, some run-of-the-mill starter, Baker Mayfield?
I think that's the point, right?
Like, that's what I'm trying to get at. Like,
yep.
There are a ton of really, really talented receivers. I don't need Justin Jefferson. Would I want him? Absolutely. I would love to have him. But the difference between even in Cincinnati, the difference between Jamar Chase and T. Higgins is there's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
There's one's better than the other.
Yes.
But it's not as big of a difference between a really good quarterback and an average quarterback.
Correct.
That's way bigger.
Correct.
To me. And there are way more T. Higgins out there than there are good quarterbacks.
And if Andrew Luck was there, I would say you got to take him. You know, he's I would say there's more chance than not that he's going to be a top 10 quarterback.
But what I'm saying
in this league
is, I'm fine if I don't get Marvin Harrison Jr. if I end up getting Adunze or Neighbors.
Well, you won't.
I don't think they're the same. I don't think they're as good as Harrison. I'm not suggesting that they are, but I think there are a lot of good receivers
I know
that you can get that are really good players.
I agree, but I don't know. I'm just going by what the Nudniks say.
I agree with you.
You know, and I haven't heard this much clatter about, you know, there's been clatter about wide receivers, but
don't you think that has a little something to do with his name?
I don't know.
I
would say the last time there was this much hype for a receiver was Ja'Marr Chase.
I didn't even hear it this much about Ja'Marr Chase, honestly.
Well, Ja'Marr Chase was like a can't miss. Like, he was in the same boat. It was this type of guy. I
know once he started playing, he was, you know.
I just think that it's when it comes to roster building, it's building it backwards. Like, you're starting with the shiny toy. When you don't have an offensive line, you don't have a quarterback to get him the ball, but you have this Ferrari on the outside. It's like, what good
is
that?
But all those things you just talked about, you're not going to get those all in the first pick anyway.
But those things contribute, so in my opinion, are more conducive to winning.
All right, so it's one guy, one pick. You know, you can only solve one problem
but
in that pick.
I just wouldn't build it that
I guess
way.
What my point is, if I have my choice, and you can't do it this way either. I realize this is flawed. But if I have my choice, let's just say that Drake May is number three. And he hits. He's good. I'm not talking about Patrick Mahomes, but he's really good. I'd rather have that than the best receiver in football.
Correct.
Yeah. I would too.
I agree.
So even though I think that there's probably a better chance that Marvin Harrison is really good, I think it's way more important because now I can get Drake May. And in the third round, Drake May is going to make somebody better. Maybe the next year I can get a first-round wide receiver, you know, because I have Drake May, and he's making my offense better. I don't know how much Marvin Harrison makes your offense better.
That's my
if
point.
If you don't have
That's my point.
That situation settled.
Its bottom line is it comes down to winning football games, and how much better does Marvin Harrison Jr. – how many wins does Marvin Harrison Jr. add versus the quarterback? And it's just not – it's not apples to oranges.
If you're asking me what position is more important in the NFL, it's quarterback.
Right,
it's,
and I don't think you're in this situation very often. At least you hope not.
Right.
At least you hope not to be. They have a top three pick in a year that the quarterback position is deep.
Yeah, if I feel real good about Drake May, then you pick Drake May.
The question is always an either or. It's Marvin Harrison Jr. and Bo Nix, which is what Dane Brugler mocked to the Patriots a couple weeks ago, or it's Drake May and Roman Wilson, who just had a great week down at the Senior Bowl. And it's which one would you rather?
And do you love Drake May?
Yes.
Okay, then it's Drake May.
But what if it's Drake May and whoever else? If it's Jaden Daniels or, you know, like, I mean, I think we all agree. But if it's, like, I just think about, well, they have a draft board, and you always hear them say, stick to the board. Now, at third overall, is there a good chance that Caleb Williams and Drake May go 1-2? Who should be the number one guy on their board right now? So why shouldn't he be selected?
And if you think that Marvin Harrison is substantially better than Jaden Daniels, then you should take Harrison.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah,
I wouldn't just take the quarterback for the sake of taking a quarterback. I don't believe
in
that.
And that's.
But can you imagine if this was like 2 years ago and the quarterback draft class had Kenny Pickett, who some people thought might be a first-round pick, and that was the best on the board? You'd be suicidal right now.
Right.
You're not dealing with that.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
You're dealing with three guys that a lot of people think are going to be the first three picks.
Or could be overrated.
No, Fred, there's always a chance.
Yeah.
There's always a chance. Last year, three of the top four were quarterbacks. One of them was great, one of them was bad, and one of them got hurt.
Yep.
Like, that could happen.
Yeah. But is it fair to say that there are probably two players in this draft class that people are maybe considering as generational players, and it would be Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr.? I mean, is that fair to say?
Like I said, I think that there's a lot of that because of his name.
Yeah.
Sure.
But he sure looks the part, too.
Yeah.
I think he's terrific.
Yeah.
Marvin Harrison Jr. is a generational talent.
So it's just like, you know, and after the last 4 years of
except for you just said, like, 3 years ago, there was a guy who was similarly thought of. So how generational is it?
I guess
every year, the top wide receiver is like that.
I don't know.
Not every year the top quarterbacks are like this.
After all these drafts of overthinking it, you know, for some people, it's staring you right in the face.
Right. Well, and that's what
we've gotten five years ago with Ja'Marr Chase. Like, we're talking about.
Right.
So
no,
it was. He was drafted in 2020.
He's played 4 years, right?
Yeah. So we're
that's 4 years.
Well, okay. Five
that's not
years,
generational.
I mean, all right. Then you're like, use your whatever you term you want.
Justin Jefferson. You know, what was he like a year before that? Like, it's not a generational pick. Quarterback, I go back to Andrew Luck. I haven't seen a prospect like Andrew Luck since.
Oh, a lot of people would say Trevor Lawrence was on that level.
And he didn't hit.
Right, and he didn't hit.
He's not to that level. Yeah. To that level. He's not been that guy.
Yeah.
All right. That's my point.
I want to take another call. Devlin's been hanging on for a while. He's in Florida. What's up, Devlin?
James?
Yeah.
Yo, what's up, guys? I just wanted to go back to Paul's point about coordinators and kind of being a stepping stone, or this New England being a stepping stone. For coordinators, don't you think we would need someone that could stay for multiple years if we want to kind of have like an established run, kind of similar to a dynasty? Obviously, we can't replicate what Tom Brady did.
Yeah.
But just try to have a, you know.
I mean, that's what Paul said. In the best of both worlds, he does really well.
And he stays. I didn't say New England should be a stepping stone. I think the coordinator positions should be stepping stones. I don't care what organization you're in.
No.
You should want that guy to build a really good offense or defense, as the case may be, and he's generating interest, and then you replace him because you have a system in place, and you've set up. That's what they did in the early 2000s. It was the same. Yeah. The reason why Tom Brady so effortlessly kept moving on is because it was the same offense.
Yeah. Right, and that highlights the importance of hiring a good staff that's deep.
That's
and
what you want. Hit.
Like Detroit, they're looking at, all right, Ben Johnson's going to leave. We got a guy waiting.
That's what Evan was talking about. Have that succession plan in place. And I think that's what Detroit did.
And I gave Bill Belichick a lot of credit over the years for having that structure in place with guys in the waiting. And, you know, finally the brain drain caught up to him. All right. Yeah. Thanks, Devin. I got to take care of some business. Do I have to read these? Yeah, I guess so. hey, Patriots fans, if you want to see Toyota's best offers, including those not seen on TV, go to buyatoyota.com. It's Toyota's official website for deals from the official vehicle of the New England Patriots. Toyota, let's go build an offense. All right?
Sounds good.
Okay. The rest we'll do later. All right. It's an emergency podcast. All right. We could have gone on forever, but we've got other stuff to do. We'll be back on Tuesday. Have a good weekend, everyone. See you then.
Thank you for downloading this podcast. Subscribe on Apple, Google Play, and everywhere else you listen. Like the show? Please rate and review us. Listener comments and ratings help keep us high in the podcast rankings so new listeners can find us. Be sure to check patriots.com for more news and more podcasts. The world's original.